It's a Tuesday morning, but it somehow doesn't feel like a Tuesday. Feels like a Saturday. And we know why it's not an ordinary Tuesday, because this is the last day of Advent. In fact, this is the last Advent Mass. In the parishes, all the Masses are over already because the Simbangabi finished earlier, a couple of hours ago already. So we're at the very, very end of Advent, which means we are at the threshold of Christmas. Today is known as Christmas Eve Day. The Eve, of course, is tonight. But it's as if the spirit of Christmas keeps advancing back into the day. So here it is, the morning, and we're calling it Christmas Eve. So there's something about this day, and actually about all these days in the later part of Advent, which anticipates the joy of Christmas. This is clear in the parishes. Anyone who joined the Simbangabi Novena knows that by the time you get to this morning, you really feel like it's Christmas already, because you've been celebrating for 9 days, and it's a great joy and a great relief to have completed the Novena. Already the Christmas parties have taken place, and the gifts and the shopping and a lot of things. Now, there's still a lot of last-minute preparations to do, of course, but it's already a feeling of Christmas in the air. I ran across I guess it's an internet phenomenon, playing with the idea that today is Christmas Eve, so someone came up with the idea that December 23 is Christmas Adam. Anybody hear about that? Oh, I said, oh, what is that, Christmas Adam? Well, because Adam and Eve, so Adam came before Eve, so if today's Christmas Eve, yesterday must have been Christmas Adam. No, of course, it's just a playing around. It's a silly game, but in some ways it's fitting, because this is a time to be, not silly exactly, but to be childlike and to be playful and to celebrate. I don't think Christmas Adam is going to catch on. I hope maybe that's just an internet fad for yesterday. But there's something about it that I like, because it's kind of childish. It's something that maybe a 9-year-old would come up with, like, because playing with it, Adam and Eve. This is a good time of year to be around children, by the way, especially young children. Have any very young children here? Not very young, but still. It's a good time to be around children, because children recognize or sense more quickly how Christmas should be celebrated. It should be celebrated with joy, with gifts, with smiles, with laughter, with songs, with food. It comes more naturally. Whereas the adults, of course, are burdened with all the preparations and the work. It's not easy to put on a celebration. Even liturgy takes a lot of work. So people getting ready for Christmas Eve liturgy, the choirs, the decorations, all the preparations, it's a lot of work. But children don't think like that. They just think it's time to have a joyful time together. So it's good to be around children this time of year. And it's also a good time of year to have music. It's very fitting that the last gospel of Advent is a song. Well, it's a canticle. The gospel I just read is the canticle of Zechariah. So you could say the song of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Very nice to have a song, because music is fitting for this time of year. You probably know, everyone knows, that even though the Christmas season liturgically is shorter than Advent, there are many, many more Christmas songs than there are Advent songs. That's why in Advent a lot of people are singing Christmas songs, because there's so many more Christmas songs and they're so joyful and so beloved. Well, this canticle of Zechariah is an Advent song, but the church sings this song every single day in morning prayer. If anyone prays morning prayer in the Liturgy of the Hours, you know this canticle very well, Canticle of Zechariah. Sometimes it's referred to by its Latin name, the Benedictus, because in Latin the first word is Benedictus. So let's look for a moment, or ponder for a moment, this Canticle of Zechariah. I know everybody's thinking about Christmas, and everybody's thinking about still things to be done, and there's a lot of other things, maybe even the surprise party for Sister Carol, probably people have in mind. But still, let's take a moment to reflect on this beautiful gospel. Especially those of you who pray this every single day. Now, people who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, they pray it every day, so I'm just thinking, I probably prayed this canticle thousands of times, because every single day for 30 years or 40 years, that's a lot of times. But every time we slow down and look at it again, you see the beauty of it. So let's think of this. And here's Zechariah. This is at the time when his son, John the Baptist, has received his name. It's the eighth day, it's the circumcision of the child. And Zechariah has been silent for 9 months. Remember when he was told his wife would bear a son and that he would name the child John? Zechariah wasn't so sure. And so because he doubted, the angel said, well, now you have to be silent. So 9 months of silence. And this day, the day of the child's circumcision, the day of the child's receiving his name formally, is the day when Zechariah suddenly can speak again. So if you were silent for 9 months and suddenly you could speak again, what's the first thing you would say? Well, for Zechariah, it's blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. It's a expression of praise of God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. It's an interesting thing to say, because he's referring to the coming of the Messiah. He has come to his people and set them free. The Messiah, Jesus, has not yet been born. Zechariah has never seen him. No one has. He's still in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But Zechariah knows that he has come. Why? Because the child that Zechariah is holding is the one who's sent to prepare the way. And Zechariah knew this before John was even conceived. Your wife is going to conceive and bear a son, and you're going to name him John, and he is going to prepare the way. So if the one preparing the way is now here, that means the one to come he's around somewhere. He's right on the threshold. Actually, Zechariah already knows from the encounter that Elizabeth had with Mary, that Mary is the mother of the Messiah. But he doesn't say it explicitly. He just says, the Lord has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Well, who's this mighty Savior? A David figure coming from the house of David. The Jews were awaiting another David, a king, a warrior, a strong leader. And Zechariah says, he's come. It's a funny thing to reflect on, because that strong figure is still in the womb. Is this a prophecy? And then Zechariah starts to reflect on what God promised. What did God promise? He promised that he would save his people. He would save his people from their enemies. He promised to show mercy. He promised to be faithful to his covenant. He promised to give people freedom to worship him without fear. These are all ancient promises, starting with Abraham. And Zechariah is saying, all these promises that you have made, you're fulfilling them now. Well, at least they're about to be fulfilled. So he's that's why this is an Advent hymn, because he's looking forward to the fulfillment with joy, with praise. Then, after saying all that, then he turns to his own son, John. He's holding him. You, my child, you, John, you named the Lord is gracious, the name of John. You shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You have this mission of preparing the way. You're going to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. And this is about to happen. The tender compassion of our God. Beautiful expression. Tender compassion. An expression that we forget in the busyness of the day and in the strife and the contradictions. It's a term that children remind us of. Tender compassion. The tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. So Zechariah is saying it's not yet dawn. The sun hasn't come up yet, but it's about to arise. This is a sunrise hymn. And this dawn is going to shine on those who dwell in darkness, which is the whole human family caught in sin. Those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, this is the celebration of Zechariah about the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah and the mission of his own son, John. But it's also a statement to us, because all of us, in some ways, have the same mission as John the Baptist. All of us are prophets of the Most High by our baptism. All of us go before the Lord to prepare the way. And all of us have the opportunity to make known to people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. It doesn't mean we have to go around baptizing people or even preaching to people. But we should make people know the reason for our joy this time of year is not just that we have a vacation or we have good food or we can see our relatives. It's because we have freedom from sin. We have salvation through the forgiveness of our sins. That's something to celebrate. And we celebrate that this freedom, this forgiveness is going to come to us in Jesus Christ, who will be born tonight. So with the joyful hymn, the Christmas or Advent hymn of Zechariah, we go forth. We finish up our Advent preparation and we welcome the Lord with joy. Everybody can already today greet each other Merry Christmas, because you naturally do that. But it's true. Merry Christmas, because the Lord is about, the dawn from on high is about to break open for us. And it's something that we should celebrate in our hearts and celebrate together. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much.